A classic edition of Daily Bread.
Jesus risen, we adore you. You are the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, God Himself. Praise you, Abba. Thank you for sending Jesus. Thank you for raising Him from the dead. Praise you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for raising Jesus from the dead. Praise you, Holy Trinity. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. He will raise us from the dead. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, death has been swallowed up in victory. Jesus lives forever. Jesus holds the keys to death in another world. Jesus risen. Jesus glorified. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. This is Daily Bread. I'm Father Al Lauer. We're just getting carried away about Easter time, about the resurrection. And if you can't get excited about the resurrection, I guess you must be dead. Do you know what I mean? Let's pray right now. Please go to Mass today. Receive the risen Christ. Do you believe that you receive the body, blood, soul, and divinity of the risen Christ when you go to communion? If you do, need I say more? I guess you're going to be there every day. I guess you're going to be dropping into church in between. I guess you're going to be centering your life on the Eucharist, and that is what this program is all about. Let's pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Let's repent of our sins. Oh, the Lord wants to free us. Please, brothers and sisters, repent right now. Go to confession. Make this Easter the real thing.
I confess to Almighty God and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have greatly sinned in my thoughts and in my words, in what I have done and in what I have failed to do. Through my most grievous fault. Therefore, I ask Blessed Mary, ever Virgin, all the angels and saints, and you, my brothers and sisters, to pray for me to the Lord our God.
May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life.
Amen. Amen.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy. Mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Let us pray. God of mercy, you have filled us with the hope of resurrection by restoring man to his original dignity. May we who relive this mystery each year come to share it in perpetual love. Grant this through Christ our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Remember when you were a kid, now certain people won't know what I'm talking about, but others know, you played Monopoly. You remember that game, Monopoly? I don't know if that did much good for me or not, but I really got into that game. And every once in a while, you would get this card called a get-out-of-jail-free card. Well, that's what we're talking about today. Let's get out of jail and be free. Acts chapter 5, verse 17, our first reading for the Eucharist, brings up this particular thing I just said. The apostles are in jail. Why are they in jail? In jail for being normal after hearing and knowing and meeting the risen Christ. Boy, once you know he's out of the grave and you're going to come out of the grave too, that certainly gets you pretty excited. I don't care if you're the most low-key, laid-back person in the world. You can't help but get excited when you know death has no longer got authority over you. You're going to beat death because of Jesus, and we're excited. We're excited. We're excited. We're excited. And, so you just act normal. But when you act normal under those circumstances, an abnormal world thinks you're abnormal instead of thinking they're abnormal. And so they throw you in jail. And so the apostles got thrown in jail. But they were miraculously freed from jail through an angel. During the night, however, an angel opened the gates of the jail, led them forth, and they told them to go out and preach about Jesus. Do it in the temple, right, where everybody would know that they're out of jail. And these apostles got out of jail, and they kept getting out of jail, and they kept getting into jail, and they kept getting out of jail. And Paul, we don't know how many times he was in jail. We need to be like the apostles and get out of jail, so that we can not only convert the prisoners and the guards, but the rest of the world. Now, most of us will not relate to this because we haven't been in jail, or if we have, we're not expecting to be in that often. But there are different kinds of jails, if you know what I mean. There are different kinds of jails, and maybe you've never been in a government jail, but you've been in jail. In fact, there's a strange expression, and some of you are strange, so you might like it. Look at Ecclesiastes and chapter 4, verse 14. I know this is your favorite book of the Bible. Ecclesiastes 4 and verse 14. For from a prison one comes forth to rule, since even in his royalty he was poor at birth. So they're talking about a king who comes forth from a prison. What is that all about? Well, then they say he was poor at birth. They're probably referring to being in the womb. And they describe it as a prison, as a confinement. And of course it is. It's not a prison in a vindictive sense or even in a penitentiary sense, but you can't go where you want. You can't do what you want. You are confined. And it's the smallest cell you've ever been in. And in one way, our whole life is getting into prison and getting out of prison, if you think about it. Maybe you're an old person. You know why they don't put old people in prison? Because they're already in prison. That's why. They're not going to go anywhere. They can't go anywhere. They can't walk. They can't talk. They can't get anywhere. They're too weak. You see what I mean? And that's why people who are elderly and very healthy can get around and 90 years old driving a car all over the place. You know, you don't see too many like that, but there's a few. Those people, everybody talks about them and says, gosh, you know, the old man, he look at him here. He's 90 years old. Look at him. He's going all over the place. Well, they talk about that because that's an exception. That's unusual. You start off in confinement in the womb and you end up that way in confinement. Not in the womb, but before the tomb. And in between, there's a lot of confinements too. You know, I'm a priest, and I think some priests figure, you know, I have a lot to offer the church, and I want to share the word of God, but what if the bishop sends me out into the boondocks, if you know what I mean? The boondocks is another word for prison. No, you're not in a prison where you can't go anywhere, but you're in a prison where you don't have the opportunity you think you should have. Send them out to the boondocks. Now, you don't have to be a priest to be sent to the boondocks. Some of you in your marriage say, my marriage has turned out to be the boondocks, whatever the boondocks are, but you know what I mean. My marriage has turned out to be the boondocks. I am in this marriage where I am just stuck here. Stuck. It's something like prison. I really don't have opportunities. I would like to do this. I would like to do that. My husband, he don't want to do nothing. He don't want me to do nothing. I'm stuck here because of him. Now, maybe you could do things, but you say, God has given me a vision. God has given me a calling. I want to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. I want to stop abortion. I want to build up families. But I am limited, almost like prison. I can't get anybody to work with me. I'm stuck. I don't have any money. I've tried to get some people to fund this, and they said they wouldn't do it. I don't have the time. I got so many things to do. There are many people sitting there at their job right now saying, if I only could get rid of this job or get more time, I could do what I know God wants me to do. And then a lot of people say, I'm going to go talk to my pastor in the church, and I'm going to get the church to back this. This is a dream I've had, to reach out to children. If I can get the church to help me, they can put some money into it, and maybe they get some people to help me. And finally, I won't be confined anymore. I'll be out of prison. I'll be able to do what I want to do, what God wants me to do. Well, sometimes the pastor says, I don't really know if that's too good an idea. Or I'll bring that up to the parish council and say, oh, no, that's the end of that. Oh, boy. Well, maybe you're what they call unequally yoked, meaning you're married, but your spouse isn't really into the faith the same way you are. Well, gee, that's like having a straitjacket on. That's worse than prison. You know what I mean. But what are you going to do? Maybe you're prejudiced against. You have some great ideas. God's really anointed you, but you don't have a bunch of letters behind your name proving that you got all these degrees and credentials. That's probably why you got the great ideas. You haven't had your mind ruined by so-called higher education. Now, don't get me wrong. Higher education can be good. I got a bunch of it. But it can be bad, too. Maybe you got all these great ideas because you haven't been polluted and messed up and confused. Well, but you think people are going to give you an opportunity? You say, I want to do this and this. And then they say, well, are you accredited? Are you certified? Are you degreed? And say no. And they say, forget it. Well, see, now wait a minute. See, you're in a prison here. You're in a prison, not due to your lack of education, but due to the prejudices against people with a lack of education. Maybe you have a wonderful marriage and you're ready, you and your spouse are ready to go. The only problem is, before your marriage got wonderful, you were doing all kinds of stupid things, and now you've enslaved yourself by debt. You know, in Proverbs it says, the borrower is slave of the lender. So you are in prison, in a prison of debt. You're in debtor's prison. Maybe your spouse is okay. The church wants to help you. You got the ideas and you got the money. The only problem is you got three kids and two of them have pretty severe problems and they just pretty well lock you up. You just don't have time to do anything. You see what I mean, brothers and sisters? You very likely, a lot of you are in prison. I'm constantly trying to get out of prison. God's given me all these ideas and I want to do this and this. I don't have the money to do it. I want to be on 1,000 radio stations. I only can get in 37. I'm limited. You say, well, I believe, you say, well, you're out of prison. I don't know if I'm out of prison. I just believe I'm out of the solitary confinement. I'm into, to the general population of the prison where I can do something, but nothing like I think God wants me to do. You see what I mean? I'm confined. I'm restricted. I'm in some sort of a situation where I'm severely limited because I don't have the money or whatever. You know, you get the idea. You see what I'm talking about? Now, how does God help people get out of jail? Well, do we wait for an angel to get us out, as happened in our first reading? Well, that's not a bad idea. But how does this work? Well, I'd say our program is focused on the Eucharist. And the Eucharist is a multiplication table. You can say, God, I don't have the money and I don't have the time and I don't have hardly anything, but I'm going to do my best on this. And my best may not look very good, but it is going to be my best. I'm going to give you my loaves and fish, which are almost a joke compared to what I really want and need. But I'll give it to you anyway. I'll give you all of it. And we're going to ask you to multiply it. And, you know, he's going to do it. He is going to multiply it. Bring it to the Eucharist. Bring it to the multiplication table. Bring it all. If you don't bring it all, he won't multiply it. And let him do it. Another way of expressing this is St. Teresa the Little Flower talked about the little way. You do whatever you can do, even in your prison, even in your severe limitations. You do whatever you can do, and you do it the best you can. And I believe the Lord is going to anoint that. Do you see what I mean? And a little bit more about the little way. The little way is a sacramental way. It means the Eucharist. It means confession. The little way is a disciplined way. It's don't disdain the discipline of the Lord. The little way is a way of praying, a way of fasting, a way of sacrificing, a way of forgiving. But all those things, you just do it. You just do that. And I believe you'll break out of prison. You won't even know you're out, but you have to, by faith, believe you're out and believe you're doing the great work of God. And I'm sure you'll find out that's the case. We got a little pamphlet called Who Cares that talks about this. Who Cares? Our address is Presentation Ministries, 3230 McHenry, Cincinnati, 45211. 3230 McHenry, Cincinnati, 45211. Our phone number, 513-662-JESU, 513-662-JESU. Jesus is risen. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.